Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Francis Buck, the man of the ages for KMOX. For nearly 50 years, Jack's voice was St. Louis. He was born and spent his early years in Holyoke, Massachusetts. He was a Depression-era kid, and those were tough times. Kids had to work to help earn an extra nickel or two for the family. Jack did what he could, sold newspapers, caddied at a golf course. His mother would often send him to the bakery, asking him to wait for the delivery truck to return, hoping to get leftovers. Jack also worked as a soda jerk at a drugstore and as a car hop at a drive-in. During the winter, Jack and his brother Earl would gather newspapers, soak them with water, then roll them into balls and let them dry in the coal bin. They'd help heat their house that way. Jack and his buddies played a lot of baseball. They had only two gloves to go around in the entire neighborhood. One was used by the catcher, the other by the first baseman. He was a Boston Red Sox fan, naturally, and later pulled for the Cleveland Indians when the family moved to Ohio. Baseball was Jack Buck's great love. After high school, when he was 17, Jack worked on an ore boat on the Great Lakes as a porter doing dishes and peeling potatoes. He worked with the crew, even painting the hull of the ship. Later, he got a promotion. He became the ship's cook. Then came World War II. Jack was in the infantry for 3 years and was seriously wounded at the bridge at Remagen and awarded the Purple Heart. All of those experiences helped develop the character of Jack Buck, a man of great generosity, in large part because he remembered how it was to have little. A student of history, Jack developed a strong work ethic along with a great sense of humor. In his book, That's a Winner, he wrote, "I wouldn't change a thing about my life. My childhood dreams came true." Of course, none of those dreams had him winding up in St. Louis. He came here in 1954 to broadcast Cardinal baseball, and his dreams couldn't possibly have included membership in the National Football League Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, and Missouri's Sports Hall of Fame. In Jack Buck's early days at KMOX, station boss Robert Hyland was quick to realize Jack's talents went beyond just being a guy who could talk about baseball. When Hyland created the first full-time talk radio format in all of broadcasting, Jack played a major role. First of all, it was his idea to call it At Your Service, and Jack hosted the first program.
5 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, and that will be the usual starting time for At Your Service, our brand new program which inaugurates today. We're very pleased to have with us on this first program, His Honor, Mayor Raymond R. Tucker of St. Louis. And he and I will be chatting for a while. You'll get a chance to ask him some questions a bit later on. The number to remember is Mission 75504. And then a bit later on, between 4 and 5, you'll meet all the talent here at KMOX Radio. But for now, we'd like to turn things over on this first program to the General Manager of KMOX and Vice President of CBS, Robert Hyland.
Ladies and gentlemen, the program you are about to hear represents a new concept in afternoon programming for American radio, a concept we believe will set the pattern for radio broadcasting in this exciting new decade of the 60s. The program is called At Your Service and is designed to be at the service of you thousands of listeners who want the full range of entertainment and information from radio listening. We will welcome your comments and suggestions on At Your Service. It's your program, and we will strive to tailor it to your needs and interests. And now back to your at-your-service host, Jack Buck.
Over the years on KMOX, Jack did thousands of interviews. One of the most entertaining was this one with a brash young boxer, then named Cassius Clay.
Congratulations on the signing, first of all, Cassius. Nice to talk to you again.
All right.
Is this the next?
Have no fear. The next champ is standing right here.
This is the next champ.
I am the next champ. Listed as the tramp.
Hey, you haven't picked the time and the place for the fight as yet, have you?
No, we haven't picked the place and the time and the site for the fight or the date, but we have the month, which will be February. We haven't picked a date, but I have picked round 8.
Uh-huh. And I understand the Liston's going to get 40% of the gross and you 22.5%.
Yeah, I have to take low because after all, he's a champ, but after that, I'll be the champ. He'll be the tramp. Mm-hmm. And for those of the people in the radio audience who won't be able to see the Clay Liston fight, here is the 8th round exactly as it will happen.
We're ready.
Clay comes out to meet Liston, and Liston starts to retreat. If Liston goes back an inch farther, he'll end up in a ringside seat. Clay swings with a left. Clay swings with a right. Look at young Cassius carry the fight. Liston keeps backing, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time. Fire Clay lowers the boom. Now Clay lands with a right. What a beautiful swing. And the punch raises the bear clear out of the ring. Liston is still rising, and the ref wears a frown, for he can't start counting till Sonny comes down. Now Liston disappears from view. The crowd is getting frantic. The radar stations have picked him up. He's somewhere over the Atlantic. Who would have thought when they came to the fight that they'd witness the luncheon of a human satellite? Yes, the crowd did not dream when they laid down their money that they would see a total eclipse of the sun. That's exactly what's
going to
happen.
Yeah, that's something, huh? That's the 8th round?
That's the total annihilation, which will be the 8th round.
Cassius, a lot of people think that really you're not ready for Sonny because you're not as strong as you would be in a couple of years.
Well, you tell all of those people, if they like to lose their money, then be a fool and bet on Sonny.
I understand that you stopped in front of Liston's house in Denver today.
I stopped in front of his house about 2 o'clock this morning. Woke him up, drug him out of bed. His wife was holding him. I had 3 bodyguards holding me. And before I knew it, newspaper men were there and the policemen were there with the dogs. The policemen and the dogs saved that big ugly bear because I was going to whip him right there on the spot before the fight.
With no money?
Don't need no money. All I want to get is money.
Most listeners associate Jack with baseball and football. But in his earlier days at KMOX, he broadcast other sports, too. He did St. Louis University basketball. He even did a soccer game. And the hold-by-hold of professional wrestling matches from the old Kiel Auditorium.
Fez and Dick the Bruiser are still going at it. Fez and the Bruiser. In a wild melee in the center of the ring. And foreign debris being thrown in the ring as the Bruiser works over to Fez as this match is already over.
In the first year of Blues hockey, 1967-68, Jack was the primary play-by-play man for the Boys of Winter. He called the first 2 Blues goals in their inaugural game.
Swager gets the puck. He clears out to Freddie Huckelheim defense. Here going in is Larry Keenan. Shoot! Scores! Larry Keenan. He deeps the goalie. He went in and scored the first score of the year for the St. Louis Blues. Larry Keenan, with some beautiful stick handling, evens the score with 16:38 remaining. And this is what the fans have been waiting to yell about.
Baseball was, of course, Jack's first love. But football wasn't all that far behind. He developed into one of the top football announcers in the country. Here in a broadcast from 30 years ago, Jack was the voice of the Missouri Tigers.
It is still 2nd and 10 from the 11-yard line. Farmer, a quarterback, with Mel Gray to the right and Henley split left, calls the signals and rolls to the right. Stops and throws, and it's caught inside the 5. Touchdown! Missouri! Mel Gray caught the ball at the 4. Avoided a tackle by Ellis. And went on in. Farmer throws the touchdown pass to Mel Gray, and Missouri leads 6-3.
Jack's reputation in the booth continued to grow as a brilliant play-by-play announcer. For nearly 2 decades, he was the voice of Monday Night Football and the Super Bowl on CBS Radio. Here are some of Jack's historic Super Bowl calls, which helped earn him induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Bradshaw on first down now from the Dallas 28. Fakes to Franco Harris and
he's wide open.
Long into the end zone. Stallworth
is a touchdown! A touchdown for the Steelers! On a 28-yard pass play on first down, and if Bradshaw throws the ball like that all afternoon, he's gonna kill it.
And he runs it to Franco Harris, who breaks it open and goes into the end zone! Bradshaw's back to throw. He looks and throws it in the end zone. Swan! Touchdown! Touchdown, Pittsburgh! On a 19-yard pass play! Motion by Didier, the tight end. Here's a give to Riggins, running left, first down. To the 40, takes a tackle, 35-30. They score! Riggins, touchdown for Washington, and the Redskins go on top.
Here's a fake draw play. And a
Williams. Long down the middle for Sanders. Touchdown, Washington! Touchdown, Washington! To Sanders over Tony Lilly.
Montana is back to throw. He looks and throws, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown! To John Taylor with 34 seconds left. A 10-yard touchdown pass to John Taylor. And the 49ers lead by three. And the extra point would put the nail in the Cincinnati coffin.
It is a 47-yard try by Scott Norwood to try to win the game for Buffalo. Lingner will snap it. Wright will hold it. Norwood will kick it from the right hash mark with 8 seconds left and the Giants leading Buffalo 20-19. It's a 47-yard kick for the Bills. Norwood assumes the position. Lingner waits to snap it. We wait. There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
Jack Buck was best known for his play-by-play of baseball, in particular, Cardinal baseball. His most famous calls still echo in the minds of Cardinal fans everywhere.
There's a shot. That's gone for another home run from Israel. He really golfed that one up against the facade. His second home run of the day, coming with a man on, and it makes it 9-0.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable! A home run for Gibson. And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just saw. I don't believe what I just saw.
The pitch, a ground ball to third. Over foul has it. Throws. That's it. The Cardinals have won it.
Swing and a long one into left field. Adios. Goodbye. And maybe that's a winner. A three-run homer by Clark. And the Cardinals lead by the score of 7-5. And they may go to the World Series on that one, folks.
The 2-2 pitch. Breaking ball. Hit off the pitcher. To the third baseman. No play. Base hit. From the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals! Porter throws his mask into the air. The players converge around the mound.
The greatest pitcher in Cardinal history was Bob Gibson. On August 14, 1971, at Pittsburgh's Three Rivers Stadium, Gibson made history. And Jack had the call.
Two men out, nobody on. Bottom of the ninth, 11-0 Cardinals. 1-1 on Stargell. The pitch on the way, and a swing and a miss. Strike two. A good low breaking ball. And Gibson is one strike away from the no-hitter. He takes off his cap. He mops his brow. He looks in and gets the sign. He starts the windup. Here's the pitch, and it's a strike called. A no-hitter for Gibson. Simmons roars to the mound, embraces Gibson, who's engulfed by his teammates, as the Cardinals win the game 11-0.
In 1974, Lou Brock became baseball's single-season stolen base king. The game was at Busch Stadium. Brock was on first, and Jack Buck painted the picture.
Brock takes the lead. Ruthven checks him. He is going. The pitch is a strike. The throw. He is there. He did it.
They're going to give him the bag. shook his hand, the Philadelphia shortstop, congratulated Lou Brock. About 50 ushers. On the field, the Cardinals pour out of the dugout to shake hands with their teammate. Reggie Smith, Ted Simmons, Blake McBride, Ken Reitz. All of the Cardinals out of the dugout, out of the bullpen, mobbing Lou Brock, a fellow they dearly love on this Cardinal ball club.
Jack Buck provided the words that accompanied the Hall of Fame careers of several Cardinal players. In probably his most famous single call, Jack captured the moment when Ozzie Smith stepped to the plate in Game 5 of the 1985 National League Championship Series against the Dodgers.
Ozzie with one out. Took a ball just outside. Cardinals have left 10 men on, and they left a lot of men on early. And a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 and a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy.
In 1998, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa captured the imagination of baseball fans around the world with the chase of Roger Maris's single-season home run record. On September 7th of 1998 at Busch Stadium, McGwire finally caught Maris.
Two out, bases empty for Mark McGwire. Mike Morgan is the pitcher. Here it comes to McGwire. Swing! Look at there! Look at there! Look at there! McGwire's number 61. McGwire's flight 61, headed for Planet Maris. Home run McGwire, 61. History, bedlam. What a moment. Shaking hands with the third baseman of the Cubs. Pardon me while I stand up and applaud.
Jack's ability as a play-by-play announcer was well known all over the country, but one of his greatest talents was his ability to make people laugh. His skill as a master of ceremonies was legendary. His sense of humor and timing, uncanny. In 1960, at a baseball writer's dinner, Jack teamed up with former KMOX staffer Bob Holt and performed this skit. Jack played the late Gussie Bush, owner of the Cardinals, and Holt played the part of Stan Musial. The scene was Grant's farm.
Stan Musial's here to see you, sir.
Stan Musial. Send the horses out and send them in.
Yes, sir.
Stan, how you doing? Gee, it's good to see you again, buddy. You look wonderful. Terrific. You been working out?
Thank you very much, Mr. Bush. It's wonderful to be here. Always enjoy visiting Grant's farm.
I just... Stan, I just had a terrible dream. I'm glad you came in.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Bush. Were you dreaming about last season?
You ought to know, Stan, you were part of it.
Well, it reminds me, Mr. Bush, I think it's, I played 18 years for you, it's wonderful. And everybody has been wonderful to me, and I want to sign my contract.
Stan, a terrible thing happened today.
What's that?
One of my buffalo died.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
Stanley, would you and Lil like to come to dinner tomorrow night?
Oh, I don't know. I never tasted buffalo before, Mr.
Did you go to some of the basketball games, Stanley?
Yes, I've been learning a lot of things from those players, Mr. Bush, and that's why I want to talk contract with you, because...
Did you read in the paper the other day, Stan, about the $500,000 I gave to St. Louis U?
Well, I think that's wonderful.
I wonder if you noticed that it was more than 3.2, but less than 6% of the entire amount.
But I always knew you were a big spender, but I would like to talk contract with you.
Stan, I know that it's time to sign you and the dozen other first basemen. Would you consider taking a cut? Just a little, 40, 50,000.
You want me to take a cut?
Yes.
Well, I was out at the basketball game the other day, and I don't know if I could take it.
Stan, you've been going to the games too often.
You can learn a lot of things from Mr. Kerner.
I tell you what, Stan, I have this contract here. But really, I'm a little embarrassed.
Why is that?
All of my money is invested, and I have little or none to offer you here at contract time. Cunningham has been here. Boyer has been here. Alex Graham has signed up this afternoon, and that did it.
Well, you mean you need some money?
That's right.
Well, come on down to my bank. I see Wilfred.
You never knew what would happen in Jack Buck's broadcast booth. One of his classmates at Ohio State University was the great comedian Jonathan Winters. This next bit is a classic. The Cardinals are playing the Dodgers in Los Angeles. Winters shows up in the booth, and Jack introduces him as former pitcher Whip Willis.
Whip Willis. Here's a swing and a miss by the pinch hitter Kessinger. They tried to put you in the nursing home last month, didn't they?
Yeah, my children did.
And I cut them out of the will. What?
I cut them out of the will for trying to put me in the home.
They just wanted to see you comfortable.
Well, I just hit my one boy. I dropped him like a bad habit.
Kessinger with one out takes the ball high, and it's 1-1. Did you ever think, Whip, of getting into our profession, that of sports announcing, play-by-play, anything of the sort? I mean, you know the game so darn well. A swing and a miss by Kessinger, he's in the hole 1-2.
You know what I would like to get into is, I believe, a sporting goods shop. I love the feel of a bat, and I think all day long, whether you sold nothing or nothing else, just gripping a bat, sitting there in a chair and playing with a baseball. Just staring through the window, waiting for folks to come in, kids and guys and stuff. Is this going back to St. Louis?
Sorry. Certainly is. You pitched there, didn't you?
Well, I pitched there, yeah. I remember Dizzy.
Hot days of it.
Yeah, there's the humidity killed me a lot.
You drank a little bit, too, though.
I did drink a little bit. I drank. I always made my own stuff, shaving lotion.
Uh-huh.
And I never put nothing on my face.
Hey, how frequently you come to the ballpark, Whip? Whip Willis, former big league ball player, is here at the park tonight.
When did I come?
How often do you come?
Oh, well, if I ever get a free pass, I usually just pull right in over at the parking lot, and lay maybe a quarter, 50 cents on the guy where he can put my car so I can get out.
With a mobile home. Now, your wife is in the home, out in the parking lot now.
She's out there listening now, and she just gets scared of crowds. She was in a crowd in the circus when she was a kid and the tent collapsed.
She worked in the circus, you mean?
Oh, no, she didn't work in it. The tent collapsed on her, and I believe it was the Coal Brothers. I'm not sure. She was never sure. She's never been right since, I'll tell you that.
And that's the reason she's out there in the park now.
Davy Lopes has had his problems, his fingers hurt and his feet and his back, but the man always carries his money on him. That's an interesting thing. One of the few ball players, I was told, I don't know if it's true or not, has his wallet on him in case he's kicked out or has an argument.
Runner out at second, one out.
Oh, that was ball one. That's what that is, one out. One ball.
You're for Cincinnati, right?
Well, I do. I was brought up in that area. I was brought up in Bellbrook, outside Dayton. A farm boy.
Used to paint
rusty John Deere's. That's not much. It's not too exciting. That's the reason I went to playing ball. We used to play in open fields,
We
threw rocks.
What do you use for bases?
Well, I'm sorry you asked me that. That's something that you don't use but once, I tell you. You slide into it first, and it's all over.
Batter Bill Russell from Pittsfield, Kansas.
Boy, there's a nice town. Tornado could have took that at any time, but I guess it didn't. I wouldn't live there, you know, because of tornadoes. I wouldn't want to live in cellars. I love sunflowers, but I hate tornadoes. My brother was in a hurricane in the war in the WW2, and he was stuck up in the air for 3 days. He had his best liberties then.
Runner on a third, two out.
Almost hit him.
That's what he used to do.
I'd hit a guy. You know, I'd get a high. Of course, we damn near had them headliners, or them hatliners, what they're wearing now. And I used to hit a guy just to see if he's awake, you know, and see if he'd shake his eyes around his head.
There's a swing and a miss by Russell, a ball on the strike.
One guy I used to call Orphan Annie was Bob Brixen. He played for...
Why did they call him that?
Well, that was his name. That's why they called him. If he called him anything else, he'd hit you. But they used to call him... his nickname was Orphan Annie because he'd get hit so many times, his eyes would roll open his head and it'd be nothing but white, and he'd look, you know, like Orphan Annie had.
Could he hit?
He got hit 58 times 1 year.
Here's a strike call to Russell, and it's 1-2 with Urea on the mound.
I bet these people love these interruptions, don't, with a game just sort of secondary and a dummy like me announcing. I feel bad. I'm going to let it alone there pretty soon.
Great stuff, but of course, not everything in life is games and grins. Once in a while, it could get almost spiritual in the broadcast booth.
I do try to get involved at home with the charities, and in particular, cystic fibrosis. And I've been the campaign chairman. And an event occurred which really surpasses all of the sports thrills that I've had. In our ballpark, in our booth, frequently we go through the entire season without a foul ball coming into the booth. It either hits the screen or goes up above. And if it just misses the screen and comes into the booth, you don't want to try to catch it because it is really moving. It was straight A night at the ballpark, meaning the kids had some free tickets. And I got a note that there was a family outside that wanted to come in and to visit the booth and perhaps stay there because the straight A tickets were up in the upper deck. And the little girl was the straight A winner. She was there with her mother and father and a little kid by the name of Lance, who was a CF victim. Fortunately, the booth was empty, and Mr. Rorty, who's the boss, sometimes comes into the booth and can't get into the booth because we like to share that joy with a lot of people. They came in. The engineer was seated to my left. I believe it was Tom Barton, who's in the audience here. Then I sat to the engineer's right, Mike Shannon and Bob Starr were the other announcers. Behind me, there were five steps to the upper level of the booth. Two seats over my left shoulder, two over my right. The mother and the daughter sat to my left. The father and his son with his little oxygen tank sat to my right. It was T-shirt night at the ballpark, and we had emptied a box of T-shirts in the booth. The empty box was sitting in front of the father, his son to his left. A foul ball was hit. It was headed for the booth to my right. The ball hit the guy wire, ricocheted into our booth, hit the cardboard box, and rolled and stopped in front of Lance. It probably was the only ball he ever caught in his life. He grabbed it and enjoyed the most thrilling moment of his short life. He died shortly thereafter. Whenever I go to the ballpark, whenever we have the opportunity to let someone share our joy of doing a very enjoyable job, that is broadcasting, I never hesitate to share the moment. Never. And it's still going on, and that's the beauty of it. A while back, my wife asked me, what would I say if I met the Lord? And I told her that I would say, and ask, why have you been so good to me? Thank you.
There was a serious side to Jack Buck. He was a man of depth, a student of history, a loyal and proud American to his core. A few years ago, he returned to Europe and visited Normandy Beach, site of the historic World War II invasion. He walked the cemetery where row after row of white crosses marked the graves of Americans killed on that beach. Echoes and voices of the past filled his thoughts, and upon leaving, he penned a poem.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
I'm talking to you in midair from a Mitchell bomber. This is Invasion Day. It's just before dawn. And we're on our way over to the coast of France to bomb an important bridge behind the invasion beaches so that railways can't supply the enemy when our troops land. We hope it'll be a good job. I'm trying to tell you from what I can see so that you can share this great moment with me. As I sit here, we're about 8,000 feet now. The moon's just going. I'm waiting for dawn to break.
Something burning is falling down through the sky and circling down. Maybe a hit plane.
A voice from Normandy.
We're standing here. It's an absolutely incredible and fantastic sight. I don't know whether it's possible to describe it to you or not. It's late in the afternoon. The sun is going down. The sea is choppy, and the beach is lined with men and materials. And
they chatter and laugh as they pass by my grave. And that's the way it should be. For what they have done and what they will do has nothing to do with me. I was tossed ashore by a friendly wave with some unfriendly steel in my head. They chatter and laugh as they pass by my grave, but I know that they'll soon be dead. They've answered more days than I ever knew, and that's all right with me too. We're all souls in one pod, all headed for God. Too soon, or later, like you.
In 2001, after the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, Jack expressed his love of America and his anger at the terrorists.
This nation was founded under God more than 200 years ago. We have been the bastion of freedom, the light which keeps the free world aglow. We do not covet the possessions of others. We are blessed with the bounty we share. We have rushed to help other nations. Anything, anytime, anywhere. Just not our nature. We won't start, but we will end the fight. If we are involved, we shall be resolved to protect what we know is right. We've been challenged by a cowardly foe who strikes and then hides from our view. With one voice we say, there is no choice today. There is only one thing to do. Everyone is saying the same thing and praying that we end these senseless moments we are living. As our fathers did before, we shall win this unwanted war, and our children will enjoy the future we'll be given.
Baseball and Buck. The two were inseparable. After thousands of games, millions of pitches, countless nights on the road, his passion for the game still burned in his heart. There's something about baseball, he said, that bridges the generations.
It's the great American pastime, baseball. It's not just a game invented for athletes who can run from home to first in 4 seconds, or throw a ball 90 miles an hour, or hit a ball over the fence. It's a game made for kids and played by kids and those who still have a lot of little kid inside them. And it's more than just a game. More than anything else, baseball is memories. Pressed between the pages of my mind. It's Lou Gehrig's farewell speech at Yankee Stadium, echoing in the minds of everyone who was there.
I consider myself,
or wishes they had been there,
on the face of the earth.
It's Bobby Thompson's dramatic ninth inning home run against Brooklyn, and the memory of Russ Hodges' play-by-play. It's every kid who ever went to bed with a transistor radio tucked beneath their pillow, listening to the game, and pretending to be asleep when their parents came in to check on them, before the parents went to their own bedroom to finish listening to the game. Even more than all that, it's our own memories of our own field of dreams. We are all Kevin Costner playing catch again with his departed father. That's why, to me or any other baseball fan, the story isn't about baseball or cornfields or a wish come true. It's about family. The real pull is father-child. Throughout this century, baseball has grown into a painless means of bringing abrasive generations together smoothly. Remember how much fun it was to hit your dad's pitching and watch while he chased the ball? It's not often the parent does the chore for the child anymore. As a teenager, it was a relief to use the ballpark as a demilitarized zone during generation gap hostilities over politics, grades, clothes, cars, haircuts, music. As a young adult, talking baseball was a reliable way to cut through long absences and put a homecoming on solid, diamond-hard ground. Now, as we become parents ourselves, the force of these signposts can be doubled as we go through the same drills with our children. There is certainly something unique about baseball that produces these happenings. The father-child bond could be welded over cards or car mechanics. Special about an activity like baseball is that so many families have been tied to it for so many decades. It has been and still remains the most common denominator for most of us. Remember the kid who was so thrilled to get his first baseball bat at Christmas? He couldn't wait to take it outside and play Pepper. He held it as carefully as a Nintendo joystick, took a couple of practice swings, and clicked on a smile that would light up an Iowa cornfield at midnight. Then he fungoed an easy grounder to his old man, who was wearing a battered catcher's mitt given to him so many years ago by his father. Baseball is the smell of leather, the crack of the bat, the bumpy cushion of grass, and the roar of the crowd. Hot dogs, beer, soda, popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jacks. It's the souvenir pennant of your favorite team that still hangs on the wall. It's the voices of our childhood companions filtering through our pillow from that transistor radio. The list is a litany of men with that talent for letting us see in our own mind what was happening on the field. Red Barber, Ernie Harwell, Vin Scully, Harry Carey, Gabby Street, Bob Prince, Lindsey Nelson, Joe Garagiola, Kurt Gowdy, Ned Martin, Ray Scott, Bob Elson, Gene Elston, Jack Quinlan, Earl Gillespie, Jimmy Dudley, Jack Rainey, Mel Allen, Jack Brickhouse, Graham McNamee, and even our 40th President of the United States, Ronald Reagan. What made all these memories was the sum of all those baseball sensations, divided by two, a father and his child. There is still nothing anywhere to beat it. I don't know about you, but I'd give anything to play catch just one more time with my dad.
Hey, Dad! Catch!
The Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown is reserved for the best players, the best writers who chronicle the game, and the best broadcasters who bring the game to life. Baseball on the radio is the game's theater of the imagination. Listening on the back porch on a hot summer night, in the car or on the way to work or play, in the bedroom before going to sleep, the game was made for radio, and nobody did it better over the last half century than Jack Buck. Among the many rewards, recognition in the broadcaster's wing at Cooperstown.
Jack Buck, sports director of radio station KMOX in St. Louis, is broadcasting St. Louis Cardinal baseball for 33 years. A graduate of Ohio State University, he got his baptism behind the microphone during his collegiate days by doing OSU basketball and football, after which he became the baseball announcer for Columbus in 1950 and 1951 and Rochester in 1953, both Cardinal farm clubs. Rochester general manager Bing Devine was so impressed that he recommended Buck to the big club in 1954 as color man, sharing the booth with Harry Carey. Buck became the principal broadcaster in 1970 upon Carey's departure, and he has been the voice of the Redbirds ever since. A versatile announcer, Buck has broadcast two All-Star games, four World Series, and eight Super Bowls. His glibness of tongue adds a refreshing enthusiasm to his broadcasts, which are enlivened by his wit and humor. His reputation for fairness has made him a popular figure among the players. Not as well known are his generous efforts in behalf of St. Louis Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. He joins his contemporaries Mel Allen, Red Barber, Bob Elson, Russ Hodges, Ernie Harwell, Vince Scully, Jack Brickhouse, Kurt Gowdy, Buck Keneal, and Bob Prince, all previous recipients of the award. May I present to you Jack Buck.
Thank you, Ralph, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Commissioner Ubroth and folks of the baseball world, what a lovely day, what a great weekend, and what a terrific honor. You'll be happy to know that I'm feeling fine and my pulse is at 169 and holding steady, and I fully expect to get through this time period in good shape. In the back here in the library is a plaque which says Jack Buck 1924, which is my year of birth, dash, and then a blank. It's very difficult for me to look at that plaque. When I go home, I am going to send to the Hall of Fame to Ed Stack the figures 2020, and they can put it up there, 1924, 2020, so that when I die at age 95, the folks can say that loudmouth finally went, and now the Cardinals can hire a nice young announcer to do the work. I will be 95 at that time. Congratulations to Jack Lang, to Jim Hutter, Ray Danders, and Billy Williams. I had the pleasure of knowing these gentlemen who are going into the Hall of Fame. Billy Williams batted in the ninth inning of every game that the Cardinals and the Cubs played, and the pitcher was Bob Gibson. They had a unique arrangement. He was some hitter, sweet swinger from Whistler, Alabama, and I feel so happy for him. And for Jim Hutter, whom I don't know as well, but I'm fully aware of his accomplishments. And when I was broadcasting in Columbus, Minneapolis had two very fine baseball players, Willie Mays and Ray Dandridge. And so I'm not unacquainted with another of your new inductees to the Hall of Fame. I was here twice previously, when Stan Musial was inducted, when Bob Gibson was inducted. And I had the pleasure of knowing the late Ford Frick. I shared a glorious moment with him one day in St. Louis when Mr. Frick dedicated the statue of Stan the Man outside our Busch Stadium. And so, because I knew Ford Frick, this award has even more meaning. So here stands a dirty-necked kid from Holyoke, Massachusetts, wondering how in the heck he got here. I'm going to spend the first half hour of my talk. I'm going to spend a little while giving thanks to people, because I'm the sort of guy who, when you do a favor for him, the debt is never repaid. My eight kids are here. They're all boys except five. And now you know why you couldn't get rooms here in Cooperstown for this weekend. In 1950, the late Al Bannister took a chance on an announcer who'd never did a baseball game in his life, and I've loved him ever since. And then Bing Devine in 1953 in Rochester, New York. And then the folks in St. Louis in 1954, primarily Gussie Busch, a wonderful gentleman, 88 years old as of today, still going very strongly, and a wonderful friend of mine along with his wife, Margaret. And August Busch now, who runs Anheuser-Busch in the ball club, and Fred Kuhlman, Lou Sussman, and Mike Rorty, America's favorite Irishman and the best marketing man in the country, and Dal Maxfield, and before those folks, Harry Renfro, Ray Krings, and Jack Machica, Dolan Walsh, Wally Armbruster, names that don't mean much to you people, but mean everything to me. Making the trip over here today is a fella, it's always dangerous to say he's your best friend, but I kind of think that Bob Hyland, who runs KMOX Radio, the number one radio station in the country, is my best friend, and he made the trip over here today. And Dick Brescia, who hired me for radio on CBS, and the late Frank Miller, Neil Pilson, Bob Kipperman, and Frank Murphy, and my good friends at CBS TV, and Hank Stram, and Joe Theismann. I want them to know I'm thinking about them. And Harry Carey, from whom I learned so much, both good and bad. What to say and what not to say. And I hope that someday Harry has the thrill of this moment. And the people I work with now, Mike Shannon and Jay Randolph, Ken Wilson, and the others. I have eight healthy, wonderful kids, and I wish they'd stand if I can remember their names. Beverly, Jack, Chris, Bonnie, Dan, and Betsy. Down there in front, there's six of them. There's something. And I'd like to acknowledge their mother, Alice. And down in front, Joe and Julie. And Joe wants to be a broadcaster. And my wife, Carol, who holds all of this together for me. And friends came over here. Clinton, McDaniel, and Deerdorf, and Dorsey, and Newman, and Arn, and LeGrand, and Fredericks, and Egglestons, and Al Martz. I have the number one job in baseball. Not the number one job in broadcasting, but the number one job in baseball. I don't want to be belligerent about it, but I kind of think, Mr. Steinbrenner and others, that St. Louis is not only the heartland of America, but the best baseball city in the United States. Boo me if you want. Go ahead. That's that's what baseball is all about. We have a network of 110 stations, and I have the job every night of walking into the best seat in the ballpark and describing Cardinal baseball for the folks in Missouri and Illinois and Kentucky and Tennessee and Indiana and Oklahoma and Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Iowa, Minnesota. The thing that happened when they told me about this Ford Frick Award, all of my family, all of my friends and the Cardinal fans told me that they were proud of me. And that made me so proud to have done what I've been able to do, lucky as I have been. This job transcends play-by-play. I have taken advantage of it to do some good things for cystic fibrosis, for the police department, Boys Town of Missouri, the veterans hospitals, others hospital, kids who need a helping hand, Mike Fry, Lance Holzhauser, and a kid back in St. Louis now who's as gutsy as a person as I ever met, John O'Leary. I've tried to help. I've tried to be a part of it. I have a couple of brothers here, Earl and Frank, and another brother, Bob, and three sisters, Kathleen, Mary, and Barbara. I've had the pleasure of broadcasting Cardinal baseball. The first year I was there, 54, one Sunday afternoon in May, Stan Musial hit 5 home runs. I said, my God, does he do this every Sunday? He did something every Sunday. He didn't hit 5 home runs every Sunday. But imagine the people I've had the fun of describing. Boyer, McCarver, and Maris, and Cepeda, and Cunningham, and Avier, and Grote, and currently Ozzie Smith, and Jack Clark, and Willie McGee, and Bob Fortune, the best manager who ever managed Whitey Herzog. Most of all, I'm coming to the end of my half hour. The biggest kick I get is to communicate with those who are exiled from the game. In hospitals, homes, prisons, those who have seldom seen a game, some who can't travel to the game, those who are blind. And after all of these years, I realize that my energy comes from the people at the other end. Tuesday night, we go home. Cardinals are playing a doubleheader day in San Francisco. We play the Mets in St. Louis. And if you've never been there, there's no way to tell you what you're missing. Such a beautiful sport with no politics involved, no color, no class. Only as a youngster can you play, and as a pro, can you win. The game has kept me young, involved, and excited. And to be up here with the gems of baseball, and this is like, for you people, I'm sure, looking at some diamonds in the front window of a jewelry store. For me to be standing up here is a thrill and a joy which I'll never forget. Even though I've been doing it for so long, you know what I miss? I miss not being with my ball club and not being involved in that doubleheader today. So when I am able to digest what has transpired here this weekend, and Tuesday night walk up into the booth, have the best seat in the house, and broadcast for a team which has a pretty fair chance of winning this year, I want the Cardinal fans to know when they hear me that I am humble, happy, and very grateful. Thank you.
Jack Buck's overall contributions to broadcasting were recognized by his election to the Radio Hall of Fame. He took the occasion to make a statement about his industry.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mike Rorty and Harry Carey, two of my very best friends. And good evening. I have been given 90 seconds to tell you how proud I am to accept this award and this honor. I can't even think of the names of my kids in 90 seconds. But I do accept this honor. On behalf of Bob Hyland, Sam Diggs, Dick Brescia, Frank Miller, Rod Zimmerman, Bob Kipperman, Frank Murphy, Anheuser-Busch, KMOX Radio, the Cardinals, CBS, my family, and everyone who heard me speak on the radio. I'm grateful for the bat of Stan Musial, the arm of Bob Gibson, the legs of Lou Brock, and the glove of Ozzie Smith. Radio on, you'll hear a friend. You will enjoy,
You will learn. You will imagine. You will improve. Turn the radio on at home, in your car, in prison, on the beach, in a nursing home. You will not be alone. You will not be lonely. Newspapers fold. Magazines come and go. Television self-destructs. Radio remains the trusted common denominator in this nation. Many of my friends have made the trip from St. Louis to be here and from New York, and I appreciate their travel. My wife, Carol, and 7 of my 8 kids are here. Beverly, Jack, Chris, Bonnie, Dan, Betsy, Julie, all but Joe, who announced the 49ers game today. I am proud of them, and I know they are proud of me. There is one aspect of our profession that I am not proud of, and that is dirty radio. I wish that the owners, the general managers, and the no-talent announcers who swim in the field of dirty radio would go away. We don't want you. We don't want you. We certainly don't need you. And I ask advertisers, please, not to sponsor dirty radio. And Mr. and Mrs. America, please don't listen. After 47 years of broadcasting, I wish I were just beginning. Thank you.
In his later years, Jack was honored by the RCGA. They presented him the coveted Right Arm of St. Louis Award. And in 2001, Jack received the highest honor a St. Louisan can get, the Citizen of the Year Award, given annually to an individual who's made great contributions to the quality of life in our area. No surprise there. To sports fans and to millions of KMOX listeners, Jack Buck was broadcasting's man of the ages. Jack Buck was KMOX, and Jack Buck was St. Louis.
When someone asks you your favorite sport, and you answer baseball in a blink, there are certain qualities you must possess, and you're more attached than you think. In the frozen grip of winter, I'm sure you'll agree with me, not a day goes by without someone talking baseball to some degree. The calendar flips on New Year's Day. The Super Bowl comes and it goes. Get the other sports out of the way. The green grass and the fever grows. They start the campaign, pomp and pageantry reign. You claim the pennant on opening day. From April till fall, you follow the bouncing white ball. Your team is set to go all the way. It'll be hot dogs for dinner, 6 months of heaven, a winner. Yes, baseball has always been it. You would amaze all your friends if they knew to what ends you'd go for a little old hit. The best times you've had have been with your mom and your dad, and a bat and a ball and a glove. From the first time you played to the last time you prayed, it's been a simple matter of love.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.